Hello and welcome back to the Sports Sermon. I don't know if anyone is aware, but this week is Fashion Week at The Voice, as we are releasing our annual fashion issue coming out on Friday, October 13th, which we're very excited about. Catch it in the newsstands. And so we're doing a fashion-related podcast here on the Sports Sermon. I don't know if this has ever been done before. So I'm joined by some people that have been on the Sports Sermon, I think a good amount. First, we have features editor Johnny Amon.
One more day, one more dollar.
We have sports and halftime sports staff writer Santul Nurker.
Hey, guys.
And sports editor Tyler Puri.
It's that time of year again. Everything's spooky.
So, So today we're going to be talking about, we're going to start with activism in sports and kind of how that relates to fashion. We, if you catch The Voice's print issue or look at it online, we wrote an editorial for this issue that was kind of similar to this idea, which basically says that what you wear is kind of inherently political, whether it's, you know, a very overt statement like some kind of political shirt, or if it's just the regular way you dress, the brands you wear, that politics is kind of inherently weaved into that. And we kind of thought that this idea is pretty relevant in the sports world as well. You know, there are a lot of examples ranging from, you know, Colin Kaepernick and his ongoing effort to speak out against police brutality and violence against the black community. And, you know, now wearing his jersey around kind of carries a different statement than it did in the past before he began that effort. We also have Georgetown, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, the basketball team wore "I Can't Breathe" t-shirts, which is obviously another very inherently political statement. And there are a lot of other examples that we'll touch on here, but we kind of wanted to talk about this intersection between, you know, athletes' expression and their activism politically, and also, you know, how they use fashion in that effort. So I think it's pretty fair to say in politics these days, like, the idea of, like, quote unquote, stick to sports is pretty dead. And, you know, we see players, whether it's on social media or whether it's, you know, pregame, what they're doing, or just in their regular daily lives, their, you know, politics is a pretty big part of that. So what do you guys think the extent is that fashion is a part of that activism in these days?
I think it's a component. It allows athletes to say what they might be fined for saying, what they might not be comfortable outrightly saying. I mean, Marshawn Lynch walks around wearing the Everybody versus Trump t-shirt. We know how little he likes to talk in press conferences and whatnot, you know. Everybody remembers the "I'm just here so I don't get fined" thing. I mean, he wears that around. He doesn't really have to say anything else. He's making his point right then and there. I think there's a limit to how much fashion can do in terms of athletes being activists. I mean, they have this huge platform, so it's nice that they're able to incorporate fashion. There's obviously a million cameras on them everywhere they go, during the games, before the games, after the games. So, I mean, wearing like overtly political clothing is a good way to express their opinions.
I'm not even sure it always has to be totally overt, because like with the Kaepernick jersey now, it doesn't have any specific message on it, but like everyone knows the situation. So if you see someone walking down the street and they're wearing a Kaepernick jersey, you know, like, what they believe, where they stand on the issue. And it's kind of interesting how that's kind of ingrained itself into, like, the common day. Like, everyone can recognize, whether they're football fans or not, what a Colin Kaepernick jersey is and what it represents. Which, maybe, athletes have always been activists since as early as I can remember, going back to, like, the 40s, even before that. But I don't think it's ever been so intertwined that a specific athlete really has like a certain message behind it the way that the Kaepernick jersey does.
Yeah, I think, like Tyler said, I think fashion is a component. And what I find really interesting is to see how players, they go within the confines of their dress code, of their of the uniforms they have to wear, and they use that to either in warm-up, wearing different warm-up shirts, writing messages on their shoes. They find a way to express their political opinions. And I think that's a really interesting aspect of the recent increase in athletes and activism.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think you guys are right that, like, the Kaepernick case is pretty interesting because, like, it isn't really as clear as, like, an I Can't Breathe t-shirt. It's kind of just, like, he created, not that he created this movement, but he kind of chose to, like, make this statement when it was at, like, last year or 2 years ago when he first decided to kneel for the national anthem. And since then, like, his jersey has just become kind of that like symbol of that that ongoing effort. And so now, like, you know, when you see someone like LeBron speaking out, you know, I think he wore an I Can't Breathe t-shirt 2 years ago, 1 year ago maybe, or then also recently we saw a rookie pitcher on the Oakland A's take a knee during the national anthem. You know, is there a difference when, like, you know, LeBron is this really famous, you know, he has a huge following, you know, obviously probably the most famous player in the game right now compared to a guy that is literally a rookie and, like, no one really knows about. Is there a difference between those statements, do you guys think?
I think you have a lot more at stake when you're a rookie, no-name, relatively speaking, catcher or pitcher, like, on the Oakland Athletics. Whereas if you're LeBron, when you send out one tweet, you bum, at Donald Trump, and that's, like, retweeted hundreds of thousands of times, like, millions of times, and, you know, the world listens to you. I mean, obviously, LeBron, when he speaks, the world listens, and he's reached the point where it's not going to affect his personal brand to the extent that someone starting out, you know, speaking out, he's risking his livelihood. So those are both things to consider.
I mean, also, and even, like, more impressive, almost. I mean, not that it wasn't impressive for him to kneel during that, but there's a Lightning player, Tampa Bay Lightning hockey player, JT Brown, mm-hmm. who did a similar thing. He's one of the few black players in the NHL, and it's such a predominantly white sport, and the fan base is so predominantly white that, you know, he was receiving death threats as soon as he did it. And, like, he is also not the best player, but he stands to lose something. So when people make that conscious decision, protest something to that gravity, I think it's a real testament to their character, and I think it's very impressive they're willing to take that risk in order to stand for what they believe.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is something that's, like, you can see in any industry. It's not just in sports. Like, Eminem drops this cypher verse or whatever at the BET Awards. You know, everybody goes crazy, but SoundCloud rappers, smaller rappers have been making the same points for a really long time, and I think in terms of, like, you know, relating that to LeBron and this Oakland Athletics player, the Tampa Bay players, smaller players that aren't necessarily recognized outside of their local markets. I think it's similar in that way. Like, I don't think what they're embodying, what they're trying to get across is the same. But I mean, you're LeBron. It's just like I can't think of anybody more outside of the soccer world, well known throughout the world than LeBron in terms of sports. So for him to do it, I would, like Santul said, like, LeBron literally just typed 5 characters "you bum" within a tweet, and it just blows up. I mean, there's clearly a difference, but I think the point that both of you made in terms of the smaller athletes not having or having more to lose is an excellent point. It's something I hadn't really thought about, but I mean, like, this is literally their jobs, their livelihoods, and they're putting it on the line. Especially in the case of the Oakland Athletics player and the Tampa Bay player, like, I don't think anybody else on their team knelt the first time that they did. So I mean, being the first on the team to do it is very courageous.
Right, I mean, like, the reaction to them is also so different, though. Like, LeBron types "you bum" and he becomes an internet meme, and everyone's, LeBron is sick. Like, that's awesome. But, like, and I mean, it's really cool that he did that and he used his platform because he is so well-known. I just think when you think about someone who has their entire career ahead of them and, like, they're willing to, like, put it on the line, and it's not something that can, like, be memed away like LeBron can. It's, like, kind of, like, talked about in that way, but it's just, he's not even, like, looking to get something out of it other than making his personal statement. And I think that's, like, such a testament to what they're trying to achieve.
Right. I mean, even with Kaepernick, like, I think Kaepernick was a household name before what went down.
Yeah, I mean, he went to the Super Bowl.
Right. He went to the Super Bowl. I mean, people were, like, saying he might be, like, with his combination of arm strength, his ability, you know, get out of the pocket and run, he might become one of the best quarterbacks of all time. People are saying this. And obviously that hasn't materialized, but the point is that he's been blackballed by the NFL since then. And, you know, by numbers, he should at least be, you know, on a roster. Like, that part is just not up for debate. And that it's affected him. So even somebody who's out there, even somebody who's inspired this movement, he is personally, like, he's financially suffering from this. So the air, like, LeBron's in rare air when it comes to, you know, he can say this and maybe not personally suffer many consequences because of it. So that's another thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Kaepernick is, like, kind of that example that illustrates what you guys were talking about, like, if you're not the biggest name. And even Kaepernick, like, he was a big name, but, like, yeah. You still have so much to lose by making that stand. Like, Kaepernick has been passed over for, like, so many extremely unqualified quarterbacks.
You have Tom Savage starting
games. Yeah, like you have, like, I saw, I think it was, I don't know if it was the Jaguars or a different team, but I think it was the Ravens actually signed, like, an Arena League QB instead of Colin Kaepernick. And you're just like, what is going on here? And you see, like, that backlash from the NFL that, like, you know, owners, you know, whether it be their personal opinions or, like, whatever, don't want to, like, sign him. And it's just kind of crazy that, like, he, as such a successful player, is, like, basically giving up his career. And, like, if you're like, a rookie on the A's and you're, like a player on the Lightning that isn't that household name, like, you're risking a lot.
Right. And I think, I know this comparison has been made before, so it's not too outlandish, but in a way it's kind of similar to Muhammad Ali, because Muhammad Ali did give up his career at some point when he gave up his title because he didn't want to fight in Vietnam War, and he stuck by his guns. And, like, it's not to the same extent because he's not as universally known as Muhammad Ali, but for someone to give up the sport that they love, that they've always worked towards, and, like, later on they find a better meaning, a different meaning that they want to embrace, and to, like, give up the other lifelong dream, that there's a lot of parallels between those two things, and it's something that's always stemmed back. So it's interesting to see how that kind of, like, repeats itself and comes up again over time.
Yeah, another example is in the NBA, Chris Jackson, or Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, who sat for the national anthem. And, like, now we think of the NBA as this progressive league that would maybe allow this. And even at its founding, I think it was progressive, but he was blackballed from the NBA. Best years of his life, I mean, his prime, just gone because he sat for the national anthem.
I want to connect this back to kind of a related topic, but a little bit different. Just, like, the leagues themselves kind of cracking down on this behavior, and like, you know, protesting on official league time. In 2016, WNBA players wore shirts honoring Black Lives Matter that had hashtag Black Lives Matter and hashtag Dallas 5 on them. And they were fined by the WNBA for wearing those shirts. And then we've also seen recently a lot of discussion in the NFL about, you know, we saw Jerry Jones. He was like, yeah, any player that doesn't stand for the national anthem will... Did he say they would be cut or they wouldn't play?
They'd be benched.
Well, so... Same kind of thing, like threatening, you know, not playing. And then I saw that the owners at their, like, mid-season meetings are going to consider a new rule that would change the rules to make it mandatory to stand for the national anthem. So, like what do you guys think about these, like, the leagues themselves pretty much putting a halt to, like, these protests on the teams?
I mean, first of all, I think it's kind of fucked.
Yeah.
I don't think it's something they should do. I mean, I'm interested to see what type of stipulation they would put into their rule, if it would be something that, like, would void their contract. I doubt they could do that. Or if it would just be something that forced them to bench the players, which also would make too much sense, because when you have guaranteed contracts, you're not going to, like, how willing are they to bench someone who's making, like, $20 million a year? Guaranteed money just because they didn't stand for a national anthem. Like, they have to weigh that. So I guess it'd be interesting to see how they would try to handle it, although I don't obviously think they should do it at all.
I think the NFL has a lot more power on this, just because the NFL's big stars, like Tom Brady, like even Aaron Rodgers, like, they're not... Aaron Rodgers might, like, you know, tacitly, you know, support, like, kneeling or whatever, but it's not like the NBA where LeBron James, Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, like, they're all in this together. They're all going to, like, be wearing, you know, I Can't Breathe shirts. They all might kneel for the national anthem. Like, could you imagine like the NBA like suspending LeBron James for a game for like it's not gonna happen. Like it's just down to just basic business. And I think the NFL is a much larger market, it's a much wider market, and because of that they can probably institute a rule like this and not stand to lose that much. But it's much different for the NBA.
Yeah, I find it peculiar that Adam Silver decided, well, whoever, everybody in the league office decided to make this declaration, like, we're not going to tolerate anybody kneeling for the anthem, like, knowing full well that about a good amount of people in the league were going to end up doing it. People had been saying on Twitter they were going to do it. Literally the second the announcement came out, J.R. Smith quoted the tweet and goes, yeah, and like it's like a bunch of retweets. So I
don't really understand the decision making there, because if they didn't want them to stand, I don't know why. I mean, they'd probably be better off just not saying anything on the subject, whether if they don't agree with it, rather than saying that they wouldn't tolerate it, because in any effect, then you're gonna cause blowback by players like LeBron James who have that leverage over you.
Yeah.
So I don't really understand what the play was there, other than like trying to get people to go against you and undermine you.
The problem is it creates this dynamic where it's like the league versus the players, and
right.
That I don't think when I think of the NBA, I don't think of that kind of dynamic. Like, especially since Adam Silver took over, like
right.
The way he engages with organizations, with fans, the way he runs things, I've never thought of it as like this kind of standoffish thing. And even though it might not be that way, just the fact that you're making that declaration, the optics are that now the league is doing something to undermine the players, and it's just not a good look at all for the NBA. I don't know why.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think if they end up kneeling, and I think they will end up kneeling, I don't think Adam Silver is actually going to do
it. I don't agree. I don't think he's going to do anything. But, like, if you're not going to do anything, why say you're not going to tolerate it? Just say you're not going
to
do anything.
Don't you think he just said it as I kind of have to say this, so I'll say it, but I'm not really going to do anything.
Well, if he says nothing, like, he doesn't really lose much, I think. Like, if his plan from the start is, like, you know, these players like are going
have
to do this anyways.
Their own thing. Yeah.
Well, if his thought is like, you know, LeBron and like all these guys, like if they're gonna do this anyways, like,
I'm
gonna be fine with it. Like, why would I say this?
Well, I don't know who watches the NBA. Like, I know that NBA viewership is increasing.
It's predominantly cities.
Know. Yeah.
It's cities.
So it's cities, and
I think a lot of young people.
It's more diverse.
Too.
So yeah. I don't know, like. Given that compared to like who watches the NFL, who watches like NASCAR, things like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
No, I'm being dead serious.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it does change it. Yeah.
NASCAR can come out and say like anybody who does this will not be able to race or
they
whatever.
Said that.
Like, yeah,
no exactly one would do it.
NASCAR can do it because they had their brand is built around this sort of like. I don't want to say it's built around this, but a large majority of NASCAR fans. I'm one of them.
okay.
I've been to a Daytona 500. I'll admit it.
As am I. For the record,
I don't think there's any denying that a decent portion of those fans are pro military, pro you know respecting the flag and things like that. So NASCAR has more leverage to come out and say that thing than I think the NBA does. Whereas I don't know. Like it just doesn't make sense to me, given who's viewing what sport. Like,
so I'm interested in. Because of the way Adam Silver dealt with Donald Sterling, for example, so that was an issue where there was a very clear like race issue there. He said to his girlfriend, "I don't want you hanging out with Magic Johnson because he's black," and like he handled that in like the most extreme way he could have. He banned him from the league. He fined him the maximum amount, all that. So it's not like he like had any slack when he went. Like he went to the hardest possible punishment. On that instance, so it's kind of interesting to see how he sees this as like an individual thing, like where he wants to deal with each case on a case by case basis, as opposed to dealing with the whole systemic issue. So, I'm interested to see if maybe because he felt like he handled that correctly and he was lauded for handling that the correct way, he feels like his perspective on it is better. Or, like, he feels like he has experience to deal with it in the future in a positive way, and he should be trusted to handle it.
It's possible. I think also just it's important to just think again about, like, the flag is, like, a really powerful symbol. And it's a really powerful symbol for a lot of people. It might be powerful for Adam Silver, for like as powerful as it, yeah, personally it could be. So that's something to consider. And I'm sure that there are plenty of people like who are totally with Adam Silver on the race issue and, you know, getting Donald Sterling out of the NBA who might be against, you know, kneeling for the flag. So it's kind of complex. But at the end of the day, I think it's down to the players, and the players are going to be like, yeah, hell no, fine. Right. Try suspending us, try benching us. How's that going to, like, work out for you?
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's kind of transition to a little less, like, serious conversation. I think a lot of athletes also use fashion to, like, troll each other, which is kind of funny. Like LeBron, after Game 7 in 2016, he wore, like, an Ultimate Warrior t-shirt. And, like, Russell Westbrook, just last week, I think, he wore, like, an Adopt-a-Cat t-shirt because... Durant was, like, caught on Twitter pretending to be, like, another person replying to his own tweet. And he said, like, yeah, KD couldn't hang with the cats at the Thunder. Which is just, like, insane that KD did that. But that's,
it's
like,
a so believable. Different, like, conversation. It's so
funny. and then, like, also when Durant last year wore, like, a cupcake hat about, that's, like, a jab at Westbrook, that I guess they've kind of been pretty active in this. And I think that's kind of funny, like, when athletes use, like, their dress and everything to kind of go at each other. Do you guys like that?
Well, I think it's more a reflection of, like, the passive aggressiveness a lot of players feel. So, obviously, Russ was hurt when KD left, right? But yeah, he, like, never let himself, like, say that publicly or overtly because, you know, he's a chance to be the guy. He didn't want to seem like he was too hurt publicly. And so he took all of these, like, subtle jabs that, like, require, like, a lot of thought and understanding of inside jokes, essentially, to see where he was going with them. So I think it's interesting, especially in a time with social media, because, like, you immediately have, like, 8 people who can, like, call it out and, like, know the storylines behind it. It's a little bit different than before because if this was happening, like, the 80s, like, I don't know, would you need, like, a news station to point out? They probably wouldn't. So, like, because we have social media, we can look at these things a little bit differently. And, like, the, like, Kermit the Frog with a tea hat, like, I don't know. No one else is going to notice that except for, like, diehard fans on Twitter who, like, understand memes and, like, inside jokes. So, like, there's a whole new, like, facet to league structure and how things are, like, passive-aggressively dealt with instead of overtly.
People forget that, like, Twitter is pretty much like an echo chamber. Like what you said, like only a few people, like when LeBron wears that Kermit the Frog hat, like you said, only a few people are going to understand it. But I think the people who are like on Twitter, who are on Reddit, who are on these things, and like immediately as soon as LeBron wears this Ultimate Warrior t-shirt, like putting it out there, like that's how I get all of my news, and I love it. Like I literally love it so much. I love these players going at one another passive aggressively, and then like Russ, the image I forever have in my head of Russ that like everything he does just like makes sense when I have this image in my head is when I think it was Beverly was talking mad crap to him. And he just sits there, and he just puts his head out at him, and he's just smirking right in his face, and it's just like that is Russell Westbrook, and the clothes he wears, like the comments he makes in press conferences, like completely add to it. So I love to see it come like full circle, in terms of like the person the athlete is on the court, on the field, or whatever, like just extending that, taking subtle jabs at people through things like fashion. I think it's awesome.
Right, and I love it because like you know. Back in the 80s or 90s, if you had a feud, like, you'd have, like, Charles Oakley waiting for you when you got back. Like, that's messed up, in my opinion.
You don't clock you.
Like, you still like, have Charles Oakley waiting for you if you're on MSG.
Yeah, you might have a slight drinking problem, according to James Dolan. But, I mean, I much prefer, like, this climate of, you know, passive-aggressive. Because we know they're all friends, like, you know. Always the videos come out of like the USA basketball team, like, you know, chilling, hanging out. They're all cool with each other. And this is just like something that's for the fans that keeps the NBA's brand going. I know that the NBA, they sent out a memo to all the social media departments to like stop trolling each other. But in reality, they know that that's good for their brand too.
It's so good for their brand.
So like, you know, cash considerations or whatever from, like, you know, Portland Trailblazers. They might have the best social media department actually. So I think this is something that's going to continue to work in the NBA's favor, and they should just get everything out of it that they can.
Dude, ever since the NBA disallowed streetwear on the sidelines, this has like been a welcome replacement. Like, I remember images of like AI wearing like a Donovan McNabb jersey on the bench. Like, those, that was the fashion back then was awesome. I there's a ton of pictures I have in my head of like Sean Bradley wearing like just the weirdest stuff. Dirk's always wearing Dirk and Tim Duncan are always wearing like these
huge suits.
So I'm happy to see like these little. It's not the same as like the streetwear that it once was, but it's a nice fun replacement.
Yeah, I think it's cool when you see like just that extension into like what they wear pregame and postgame. Like Russ just wearing like the most ridiculous shit like at his interviews, and it's just a lot of fun, and I also really enjoy it.
Remember when Russ wore the photographer's like vest?
That was awesome. Was that another jab at KD?
Yeah.
KD, yeah,
KD's
that's right.
A
that
big
was
a
jab. Oh, because he was taking pictures at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. Man,
it's just undefeated.
So funny. Yeah,
like,
I need one of those
thought
Nike
process,
jerseys.
Like, we should, like, I don't know, you gotta commend him for, like, just, like, finding, I wonder if he, like, plans it out, like, does he, like, talk to his wife, he's like, what's something KD enjoys, and then, like, breaks it down to, like, the fourth level, was like, this is the smallest possible aspect that I could pick at, like, the thing about cats, like, did someone come up to him and be like, hey, you should make fun of him for saying cats, and he's like, you know, that's a good idea, and he buys a cat, but, like, what is the process of that, that's what I wanna know.
Yeah, that same so guy's the dude jamming out to Taylor Swift on his Instagram live stories.
Yeah.
Like, Russell Westbrook is the ideal athlete for
me. He's
just
so much fun.
Yeah. On and off the court.
Yeah, I agree. So then also, like, I think when you look at, like, the actual uniforms in professional leagues, they're pretty standard, I would say. And I think where we see uniform, like, the official team uniforms become pretty, you know, a little more unique is in college, you know, especially with like Oregon, you know, they kind of started with their partnership with Nike, like just these insanely ridiculous uniforms, like over 100 combinations for their football team for like a 16 game season, which is just insane. So I guess I just wanted to talk about like our favorite college uniforms, and kind of what we thought of them, whether it be a specific sport or like overall. I know there's been a bit of a feud here, and I'm sure we'll get to that. But I wanted to start by talking about Maryland because I think their uniforms are pretty fucking sick. Like they've kind of been with Under Armour for I think about 5 years now, and like Under Armour kind of made Maryland like sort of like Oregon is to Nike. And they have a lot of...
Well, the CEO graduated from Maryland.
Oh, right, yeah, he's a Maryland alum. So, like, they put the Maryland flag on everything, and their uniforms are pretty cool. I know you're from Maryland, so, like, do you like them?
I like all of Maryland's uniforms except for the yellow ones they roll out every year. They roll out a yellow one for basketball, and they have, like, a Gold Rush game, and, like, everybody in the Xfinity Center, like, wears the gold. And that's cool, like, when the crowd's doing it, but it's, like, god-awful when it's head-to-toe yellow polyester. And I mean, like, my man's Melo Trimble can make it look good. I mean, like, but everybody else, like, I can't deal with it. But Maryland has some of the best uniforms. Their football
is good.
The helmet with the flag on it.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're all hand painted. They're singularly hand painted.
You talk to anybody from Maryland, that's like the best thing about Maryland is the crabs and the flag. Seeing the flag.
That's not a good thing. That's too bad.
What are the best things in Florida?
The beach.
We have beaches.
Florida Man.
Yeah, if you ever watched the documentary Florida Man, no. You know what a Florida Man entails.
No. Anyways.
Well, that's the best. That's true.
I'm sure it is. I don't know. I think Maryland does it pretty well. There was a time when they started like really ramping it up, and since then they've kind of cooled down, not really changing much. I'm interested to see what they'll do in the coming
I'm sure like years. They always come out with like a new one each year where they'll like release one new uniform,
yeah,
and, like a new design, and it's not like
I don't know, maybe I just don't get as hyped for uniforms as I did when I was in seventh grade and I was like getting ready to go to like the Maryland Navy basketball game. I thought it was like the coolest thing ever. I don't know. Santul has an awful take about uniforms.
Yeah, let's
okay
get to that.
Well, I'm not a fan of Florida State, but I just like their football uniforms. Like, maybe it's just the helmet. I don't know, like the chrome and the gold and like
that is
just,
the ugliest gold I've literally ever seen.
Well, I don't know what's wrong.
I think their black uniforms are cool, but those the pants, black ones. Those gold pants are
not so much
terrible.
No,
terrible, terrible, terrible.
If we're discussing good Florida uniforms, we should think about the ones that UF is going to wear next week. That makes them looks good? Like an actual
that's
texture to them. They are like supposed to look like actual gators.
Those are good, but I think it's a little bit risky coming off of the week they just had.
If I could replace those new uniforms with like one like decent game from a quarterback in the next like 5 years, I would do it. I really would.
Florida's offense just makes me sad.
Yeah,
it just makes me sad.
It's so sad they have so many good players on offense and defense who are going to play in the NFL, but they just don't have an offensive coordinator or a quarterback who can like put it together. It's very frustrating.
But on the uniforms, Maryland did something like that with their helmets. They had like a turtle shell. I think that was a little while ago, but they like made it look like a turtle shell.
Turtle shell's cool. Print,
which was pretty cool. I don't know. I think Florida State is fine. Like, I like that red color.
Wrong.
Dude, that's just a wrong
thing. Dude, look at it. Like, their new ones, like, that's a nice dark, deep red.
Dude, that's a stock photo. Of course it looks good.
That's fair.
I'm just, like, when I think of, like I'm sure we all know.
That's a good one. Look at that red. That's a nice red.
I'm not looking at your screen, but it's a gross red.
When I think of college football and I think of like the classic uniforms, like the Notre Dames, the Texases, the Penn States, like if I'm talking about like a team that has the most potential for awesome uniforms, it's Texas, and it's because those color combinations go so well. Like I think the burnt orange, black, and white. I used to have a field day when I was playing like Madden 08, customizing my own teams and like making it like Texas's colors. Like I don't know why Nike hasn't gone balls to the wall at Texas, but I think it's time for them to do so, especially because they're not going to rebuild their brand through their football performance.
I think a lot of teams just stick to the history. Like they don't want to change. Like
with the Texas State, fans, there's no way.
Like with Penn State, when James Franklin came in, how long? That was like 4 or 5 years ago. He put last names on the uniforms, and like everyone went fucking batshit crazy because like Penn State has never had last names on their uniforms. And then he like added numbers.
People kind of say go crazy over everything.
This is fair. We can have a whole conversation about that. You know, I'm not going to get into that. But one thing I do like is the football teams that do like the stickers on the helmets for special things.
That's
like
cool.
I don't know what, I don't even know like what the criteria is, but like if you like for every tackle or something you get like a,
well,
like
I'll
a
have
Buckeye.
You know, I used to play football kindergarten through sixth grade. Those stickers, they're hard earned, right?
The football
you
expert
go hard,
has logged on.
Was that tackle football?
That was, dude, catch me on YouTube. I'll have to show you guys some highlights more off the podcast, right? But no, dude, you go hard.
Did you
like
CTE?
I got out before anybody knew what it was.
I don't
was,
know. When
man,
you're younger,
man,
you're more susceptible. So.
I hope so. Gets me through every day.
I'm sorry.
No, but like, in terms of those stickers, I think that the Buckeyes are the coolest ones.
Yeah,
like, it's just so.
Did y'all see the new ad with the Ohio State Buckeyes thing?
Oh, I think
they're
did,
like explaining like how you get like a Buckeye.
Maybe that's
or like
the color stickers Buckeyes too.
The sticker on your helmet or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, I think those are really cool. It's just like a cool thing that like the Buckeyes make the helmet. Like the helmet's literally just like silver with like a stripe without the Buckeyes. And the Buckeye, like when you think of like Ohio State's uniforms, like the first thing you think of are the Buckeyes, but like they're like not always there.
Yeah,
like if you watch the first game of the season, they have no Buckeyes,
right?
Which is just pretty funny.
Do you guys want to hear a fun story about the 2007 game between UF and Ohio State? Anyway, so I wasn't really a fan of football at the time, and so my friend convinced me to be an Ohio State fan, and we were in the middle of Gator Country now in Daytona Beach, Florida, and so we would go to every like second grader, third grader, and we would chomp and then put our heads through it and be like, chomp this. It's in hindsight very, very cringy. And then the next day, I try to make up for it because I was suddenly a UF fan.
It's really
so.
Not your best.
Yeah,
that's not a good look, dude.
That's how
I'm,
I became
I'm not
a UF
gonna
fan.
Lie. Not
that
a good
the, that was the time to be a Florida fan, though.
I mean, that was the time. That was absolutely the time. All the way through to Tim Tebow. The Chris Leak to Tim Tebow years. Oof. Magnifique.
It's also really cool when they do like the throwback uniforms. I don't know who it was, but someone put Kansas throwback unis.
Oh yeah,
where it's like the script, and they're just very
simple.
For the
basketball team, right?
Yeah, for the
right,
basketball team. I think those are really cool. Like, and I know Maryland has done it too, and Georgetown did it too. Those are some of their coolest uniforms. Yeah. The ones that are just the script Hoyas, like the gray. I really like those.
Those are cool. I mean, I think they do that a lot for like Christmas Day games.
Yeah. Like special games.
The special ones.
And like they even like the best part about the throwback uniforms is they even make the shorts shorter.
Right.
So yeah. like when I honestly like when Andrew Wiggins was wears that jersey, like the classic Jayhawks one with the shorter shorts, he looks like Michael Jordan. Like I'm like not in like play or whatever, but like just his overall like frame and look, like yeah. So like I think that's something that more school should do, honestly.
No, I agree. I really like it. The throwbacks, really cool. Do you guys have any other uniforms you want to talk about, or is that we can close it up?
Yeah, I mean, like, just with college basketball, a few ones. I was really upset because UNC basketball last year, they made their jersey, like, the lettering smaller for some reason. Like, it looked weird. Like I don't think it was like noticeable for like most people, but if like you watch a team over the years, like they have, you know, the classic, like, you know, Argyle patterning white home jerseys, but they made the lettering all small, so yeah. That kind of caught me off guard. And although I hate Duke, I have to say that their away blue unis are just like amazing. Like not the black ones, but when they wear blue, like just Duke blue over like the white lettering, that's like second to none.
See, I have a problem. Well, this isn't like a Duke specific problem, but Nike started doing that thing with like the back of a lot of jerseys where like the entire shoulder blade is exposed, or like a lot of the shoulder blades. I think it started with Duke.
With Kentucky, I think it was with Kentucky.
It was actually with Kentucky, Duke, and like Arizona. Those are like the three that stand out to me. And it, I don't know. It looks like it's
weird.
It's just. It's so weird. Like, I don't know if it's supposed to like look like aerodynamic, but it looks like
the back of it just looks so small because like the armholes are like so much bigger. Like there's really no like back of the jersey. And like related to that, like the NBA uniforms with the sleeves,
those are
just weird.
Oh, man.
Like, those are trash.
Magic had a sleeve uniform.
Didn't LeBron
right?
like cut them off?
No, he
in one
cut
game?
Them off. And yeah. That just killed their brand like overnight.
I mean, I don't know who thought
they ever
and also
thought
some college teams
a good
do
idea.
That too. Like I
know
Louisville did it.
That's
a
stupid.
Bad idea.
Stupid.
That was an Adidas.
On the topic of Louisville and Adidas, just anything cummerbund is just absolute crap. Like anything Adidas, like with that. Just
on that same note, it's going to be interesting because maybe Adidas can't sponsor any college teams soon, depending on what happens. So that'll be interesting to see what comes between the relationship of college sports and Adidas following this.
Dude, Patino is innocent. What are you guys talking
about? Free Rick.
Oh, man.
Kiss the ring, baby.
The last image of him will be him in that, like, football jersey. That's way too
that
tight on
tiny Lamar Jackson jersey.
I want to cut this conversation out now because I do not want to get any more into this. Thank you guys for listening. I think this was a pretty cool podcast. Just a plug again for our fashion issue that's coming out on October 13th. Catch it in the newsstands and online. Should be a pretty good one. If you're interested in The Voice generally on Twitter, you can follow us at GTown Voice. Halftime, our sports and leisure blog, at Halftime GU. And The Voice's sports section on Twitter is at GU Voice Sports. You can also follow the Voice Podcast Network for all of our podcasts and see all of our content at georgetownvoice.com. If you're interested in any of the personal takes that were thrown around today, you can follow us individually on Twitter. I'm at Nick Gavio.
I don't really post any takes on Twitter, but at Real Johnny Amar.
I am at Santul N.
Oh, that's right. I forgot
we
got on Twitter during
last year. Yeah, right. I'm no longer an egg, so.
That's big.
Yeah.
I'm at Tyler_Perre, PEARRE. It's just a lot of retweets of like random rap things, or like maybe like a lot of like funny Wizards things. I don't know. You don't want to follow me.
Worth a follow in
my No, he's underselling it. Follow him.
I am.
I'm just trying to. I'm just trying to bump up the followers here. All right, cool. Thank you everyone for listening.